I'm just wondering also in a very simple way. I wonder if Elijah lost sense of that gentle voice. You see, he is now in the mount of Horeb, but the scripture calls it the mount of God. It's always the mount of God. And when you are in the mount of God, you see, Elijah wanted to pass the test, or God was teaching him that it's not in this great act, earthquake, that I'm there. And it's not in that great act of fire that I'm there. I am still the same. That same gentle voice that spoke with you to send you to the brook, and that small gentle voice that spoke to you to go to the widow's voice you lost sight of, I am still that voice that trying to speak with you. See, I wonder if Elijah so thought that Jehovah is going to come in judgment in such a way upon him, and yet God, that changes not, still approached him with this nice, gentle voice. Brethren, he's gentle, and his voice is ever gentle, and it's us that lose sight of that blessed voice.
I wonder, John, if this is definitely what God wanted to bring Elijah to. He wanted to remind Elijah that in the sanctuary, in the sight of 1 Kings 17 and 18, God doesn't speak using fire and earthquake and strong wind. But there is some, I believe, and I stand corrected, some measure of that soft, gentle voice that is definitely instructing the prophet of God to give him instruction and to give him soothing in the same time. So God was giving him a glimpse of the sanctuary that he was going on the other direction, he was escaping from. But on the other hand, maybe also Elijah was determined. We see him repeating the same sentences again every time it's inquired. Why are you there, Elijah? The same accusations are exactly repeated twice. And God wanted to assure him that he is the God that doesn't change. Elijah, you might change, but don't lose sight that I'm still sitting on the throne. And I think if we apply it nowadays, sometimes we feel that the amount of ruin around us is so horrible. And the people are asking, why is God allowing this? Isn't he still sitting on the throne? And the soft, gentle voice of Jehovah to Elijah, telling him, I'm still sitting on the throne. Go anoint Hazael, a king of Syria. Well, why king of Syria? I thought you're only dealing with Israel. No, I am the Lord of the whole earth, according to Joshua. This is a wonderful thing about God. Our God still sitting on the throne. There is many tools in his hand. As we saw, he can use ravens, in chapter 17. He can use stones, as in chapter 18. And he can use the nature, in chapter 19. And he can use Satan himself. Satan is one of the tools in his hands. Satan doesn't have his own realm of things, and he doesn't do whatever he pleases. Well, it has to be allowed by the Lord first to do it. So I think if we move further, we find the Lord replacing the whoever is in charge at this point, even Elijah. But my question would be, and I'm mindful that we do have like less than 5 minutes to cover the rest of the chapter.
I'm wondering if we should say the ascension until tomorrow.
Sorry, so I think that will give us the 4 minutes left to ask, why would the Lord deal with Elijah this way and then replace him? Is there a teaching for us nowadays in this action?
I was wondering, it's been pointed out in Romans chapter 9 how it said that Elijah pleaded against Israel. And I think when we start pleading against the people of God, we can't be used anymore. It's just one suggestion.
But does it...
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to suggest that even though Elijah is hearing of his replacement, he's not finished. There's more that he'll do. He's got to speak to Ahab directly about his wickedness and the judgment that will fall upon Ahab and Jezebel. And he'll also be alive for the next king. And that's when those 50, the captain of the 50 and their 50 are consumed twice. So he's not finished. You know, God will restore him to a powerful usefulness again. But I think it's beautiful to see here that the Lord is letting him know that, you know, it's not over. I'm going to have you anoint this one, this one, and this one. And all those three have to do with Israel. As if he has to do with what will happen to Israel. In fact, Elisha, I think, weeps when he sees what this one will do to his people. So he's letting him know that, you know, I'm in control, and the three that you're anointing will still be working with this people. I'm not finished with them. Because that's what he was almost at. It's all over. I'm finished. You're finished with them. It's not working. But now he says, I'm not finished. I'm still working. Even though you're going to be gone, I'm still working. And so it's a beautiful thing when God lets us know this.